Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to our King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to our King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Gee, guys, you're doing great.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King, Jesus. You are my King, Lord Jesus. You are my King, and you are holy.
Bless the Lord. Aren't you glad He's holy? Amen. He wants us to be holy too, doesn't He? He wants us to come out of, what is it? Come out of her? Huh? Come out of Babylon. Come out of Egypt. Huh? Bless the Lord.
Think of your love forever. I could think of your love forever. I could think of your love forever. I could think of your love forever.
Let's do it again. We're going to get to, you know.
I could sing of your love forever. 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 The mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
Bless the Lord.
Your side, and the blackbird eagle, and as a star with you, your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes, let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in me. And Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me to your
my
worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Bless the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for all the reason you give us to praise you, Lord. You alone. Lord, we long to worship you. We long to be in your presence. We long to see your face, to know your heart. Lord, open your word for us today. Help us to receive it and to retain it. Fill our lives with you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is said in the Bible of Enoch and Noah that they walked with God. Every step they took was with God. It is said of Abraham that he was a friend of God. Moses was referred to as the man of God. Joshua was called a servant of God. David is called a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. What does that mean? We sang about it a lot this morning, and I didn't know what all they were going to sing, and And I won't let Linda see my notes. Amazing how God works things out like that. But it's a man after God's own heart. There's two different ways of looking at this after. Actually, there's to know God's heart and to have his heart be like God's. And they're very, very similar, aren't they? A man after God's own heart. The first reference to this is in 1 Samuel 13:14. Samuel is talking to Saul, who was king at that time, is this: the Lord has sought him a man after God's own heart. In Acts 13:22, it tells us who that is. And when he had removed him, being Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who will do my will. Man after God's own heart. God has a heart. We read all through the Bible, we see different body parts that God has, and whether those are figurative or literal, I don't know. You know, we see his strong arm. We see that he says that he has inscribed our names in the palm of his hand. His eye is on the sparrow. We know he has feet because he cast his shoe over Edom. I looked up the word heart in the Strong's Concordance to see what it had to say about it. The heart is the most interior organ, it says. It's our innermost being. It goes on to say it's understanding, intellect, will, center, consent, to be enclosed, the breast, care, comfort, courage, mind. What about love? Doesn't mention love, does it? And yet it does, because all of those are examples of love in action. When I was reading that, understanding, intellect, will, center, consent, to be enclosed, breast, care, comfort, courage, and mind, it made me think that what I was reading was actually a picture of a father. Every son wants to be like his father, doesn't he? As long as his father is good, he does. Children are very imitative of their fathers. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. He has sought him a man that seeks him. God seeks those that seek him. Which came first? Of course, God did. He knew that he was going to draw us to us, and he seeks us. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. Did David seek the Lord? The Bible talks a lot about seeking the Lord. David in Psalm 63:1 says, early I will seek thee. Early. Hebrews 11:6 says that we're supposed to seek him diligently. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek him while he may be found. Jeremiah 29:13 says, seek him with all your heart, and he will be found by you. With all your heart. So when David was a man after God's own heart, he was seeking the Lord with all his heart. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, where our text is, actually I'm going to go back a little bit further. I'm not going to read the whole thing. The Ark of the Covenant had been away for a while. It was captured by the Philistines before Saul even became king. And it was left at I've got it written down here. At Abinadab's house, after they got it back from the Philistines. The Philistines sent it back because God sent plagues on them. And so they hooked a couple cows up to it, to a cart, put it on the cart, and let it go where it was going to go. If it's supposed to go back, it'll go back. If not, then it won't. Abinadab's son, Eliezer, was sanctified to take care of it. Eliezer is a name that we see a lot with the priesthood, so whether he was a priest or not, I tend to think that he was. And it was left at Abinadab's house for 98 years. Almost 100 years. Starting in verse 1, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubim. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of the Lord. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir, wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. David thought he was doing a good thing, and he was doing a good thing, but sometimes we can do good things in wrong ways. Some things God is very, very serious about. His holiness and his presence. So David, they parked it at the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and they left it there for a couple months because he didn't want to go any further. But then apparently they did some studying. They found out how the ark was supposed to be carried. It wasn't supposed to be carried on a cart. That's the way the world would do it. That's the way the Philistines did it. It was supposed to be carried on poles and carried on the shoulders of the priests. So they decided, since Obed-Edom's house was being blessed by the ark being there, that they'd go back and get it. Verse 12, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness, with joy. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. They didn't go very far, but he said, okay, it's going to be all right. Nobody's dying today because of this. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came unto the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, you notice it never refers to her as David's wife. Gives me the impression that God didn't see it that way. Saul's daughter looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father, before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Vile, in other translations, says undignified, and base says humble. He danced before the Lord. He wasn't wearing his kingly robes. He had stripped down. He was wearing a linen ephod. Linen is white linen is a symbol of purity. It's a symbol of truth, righteousness. Whose righteousness? We have God's righteousness. It's also the bridal garments. He humbly entered Jerusalem. It was customary back in those days that when a king was conquered, they would take him back to his city. They would strip off his clothes and they would force him to march in before. David was taking that posture here. He was submitting to God. He was assuming the role of a conquered king. For God. Says, Michal, the daughter of Saul, I'm tempted to pronounce it differently because it's not the same Michal that we think of. There's two different definitions, two different Strong's definitions for the two names. One of them, Michal, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, means who is like unto the Lord. M-I-C-H-A-L, which he was, means rivulet or brook. You see, God's name isn't in her. There's no E-L in the name, and that's God's name. She loved David when she first met him, but she may have loved the hero, the conqueror. But after they were separated for a while and she was given to someone else to be someone else's wife, then David, when he became king, to protect his throne, he sent for her and had her brought back because otherwise the person that she would have been given to would have had a claim to the throne. And kings back then didn't want that. They're kind of like that. They don't want somebody taking their throne. She thought he was dishonoring the throne. She thought he was being foolish. Did David care how he looked? Verses 21 and 22, I'm going to read them again. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus. And will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Did David care how he looked? He's worshiping the Lord. If God is pleased with your worship, does it matter what anyone else thinks? We forget that a lot of times, don't we? David didn't have as deep of a knowledge of God as we have. He knew that God delivered him from his enemies. Psalms 18, 17, 19. It says that God delivered him from those that hated him. He delivered him because he delighted in him. He strengthened him. He knew that God strengthened him. Psalm 18:34. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. He knew that God would forgive his sin. Psalm 51:1, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." He knew God was with him. Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." He knew that God watched over him, loved him, provided for him. He knew that God was always faithful. He knew that God had promised him a descendant would sit on his throne forever. Chapter 7, verse 16, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." What do we know about God and about the heavenly things of God that David didn't know? We know that God became flesh and dwelt among us. That he walked the earth as a man. That he died on a cross to save us from our sin. And he's preparing a place for us in eternity. Did David know that? I think he had some prophetic instances where some things were revealed. How much revelation did he have? We have the witness of the New Testament. We have the witness of the prophets. And we can see the thread, the scarlet thread that goes all through the Bible that ends up with the cross. David didn't even have the prophets. He didn't have Isaiah 7. "The virgin shall bear a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." He didn't have Isaiah 9. "For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given." He didn't have Isaiah 53. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have strayed everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." He didn't have the revelation we have, yet his worship and his joy in the Lord, for the most part, puts us to shame, doesn't it? Why so much joy? Where did it come from? It came from knowing God's heart and trusting in it. How did he know God's heart? Because he sought after it. Looking at the events of his life, we can see some examples of how David showed, how he proved that he was a man after God's own heart. When he was young, he took care of a flock of sheep. He was faithful. His father and his brothers didn't really think it was that much. His father forgot all about him when he was told by Samuel to bring your sons here. One of them is going to be king. "Oh yeah, I have another one. He's out there taking care of some sheep." His brother, when his brother was in service in the army, and David went and took some cheese and some wine and some bread, he said, "Why aren't you there with those little sheep of yours?" He didn't think very much of it, did he? The Bible tells us not to despise small beginnings. Jesus said, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be given greater things. He killed a giant, Goliath. One part of that story I love is that he ran at Goliath. Goliath is threatening and the whole army, and he's threatening David, and David ran at him. Why? Because he knew his God. Daniel 11:32 says, "The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits." David wasn't afraid of Goliath. Besides, God had promised him he was going to be king. If Goliath killed him, what would happen to that promise? All the time, for 12 years, he dwelt in caves and in the wilderness because he was being chased by Saul. As I said earlier, kings didn't like it when someone else was a threat to their throne. Saul was trying to kill David. David had two opportunities to kill Saul. He got so close one time that he cut off the hem of his robe. His men told him, kill him. David said, I won't lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. God's going to make me king, and God's going to do it His way and His time. Isaiah 40:31 says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. David was willing to wait on the Lord for His time. Sometimes we have a tendency to force things, don't we? He showed mercy to a man named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of a man named Jonathan, who was the son of Saul. Jonathan and David were best friends. They entered into a covenant. David promised Jonathan that he would remember his family. Mephibosheth, whose name means a shameful thing, by the way. Who'd want to name their kid that? A shameful thing. Yeah, that's kind of a picture of us, isn't it? When the Lord brings us to Him. So that's what David did with Mephibosheth. He said, is there anyone left of Saul's house that I can bless? I can show the love of God, the kindness of God. He said, there's one. Mephibosheth, he's lame in his feet. David sent for him. He didn't send him a letter saying, hey, if you're ever in this area, you know, drop by. He sent for him so that he could eat his table continually. Isn't that what God did for us? He saved a wretch like me. Mephibosheth could say that. In fact, he said something very similar. His lack of presumption. In chapter 5, we see David, right after he became king, the Philistines attacked. You know, when God does something in your life, He might lift you up or He might do something. The enemy's going to attack right after it. We need to always keep that in mind. We see it happen with David. The Philistines attacked. And what did David do? He went to the Lord. He said, shall I go up against them? And God said, go up against them because I will give them into your hand. He beat them. A little while later, they attacked again. Anybody else probably would have just figured, well, I'll just go up against them like I did before. But he didn't. He went to the Lord. The Lord said, no. Go around behind him. Attack him that way. And he defeated them again. No presumption. We can't presume on the things of God just because He wanted us to do one thing at a certain time. We need to seek Him. What He wants. His repentance. I'm sure everybody in here is familiar with the story of how he sinned with Bathsheba and had Bathsheba's husband killed. In Psalm 51, it says, against thee only have I sinned. Purge me with hyssop, wash me, cleanse my sin, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, take not thy Holy Spirit away. His humility. When God revealed to him in chapter 7, verse 18. When God revealed to him that his kingdom would last forever, that he would have a descendant sit on his throne forever. Of course, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, then when King David had sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord? Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hither to? Who am I? We could each say the same thing. Who am I that God would die for me? That he would bless me in the way he's blessed me? His reverence for the Lord. Psalm 22:3, thou art holy, thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. His trust in God. You read all through the Psalms, and many of them, David will be talking about his problems. He's talking to the Lord, and we're supposed to talk about our problems with the Lord. Doesn't mean we're complaining. A lot of times we just don't understand, and that's all we're trying to get across. But David is pouring out his heart many times in the Psalms to the Lord. And at the end of the Psalm, it ends with, but I will trust you. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what we're going through, we need to trust God because he knows what he's doing. Well, as I continue to close, I heard someone use that. That wasn't originally mine. I heard someone use that once when he was preaching. I thought, that's great, as I continue to close. Because sometimes preachers, they take a while to close, don't they? Anyway, I'm going to read one more of his Psalms, which show him as a man after God's own heart. And I already referred to it once earlier, in Psalm 63. And the title, it says, the Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, at first thought, when you read that, you think that maybe he's talking about when he's being chased by Saul. But he makes reference to himself as being king. So I believe that this is when he fled Jerusalem from Absalom, when Absalom, his son, was trying to take his throne. Anyway, he says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. But the king shall rejoice in God. But I will rejoice in God no matter what I'm going through. So what about me? What about you? Are we seeking after God's own heart? Are we seeking him the way we should? Do we care what the world thinks of us? Do we care what other believers think of us? Are we willing to make fools of ourselves for him? For the one that endured the shame of death on a cross for us. Cursed is any man that hangs on a tree, it says. He took that curse for the joy set before him. I spent a large part of my life making a fool of myself for the world. why is this so much difficult? Why is it so much more difficult to be a fool for God? Do we seek Him early? Do we seek Him diligently? Do we seek Him with all our heart? Lord, we praise You today. Thou art worthy of our praise, Lord. Who is like unto You? Who are we, Lord? What is man that You are knowing of him? Or the Son of Man that You visited him? Who are we, Lord, that we would deserve any of the mercies that You show us? But Lord, because of who You are, because of Your heart, because of the love that You have that we can't comprehend, You chose us before the world was formed. You had our names inscribed on the palm of Your hand. And You sought us so that we could seek You. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for all You do for us, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we go about our way today, Lord, go about our day, that You'd be with each one of us. You would guide us and direct us. And Lord, I pray that You would show us Your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.